Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. Been hearing a lot of commotion, I guess you might say, about religious things. And hear things like, you can't expect our modern young people to be excited about Amazing Grace. I'm not talking about Amazing Grace, I'm talking about the song Amazing Grace. You can't expect a world that grew up on such excitement of music and all of that to be moved much by the old songs, the old hymns. And I've also noticed that people are, I suppose it's always kind of been this way, but I've been noticing it more, that people are not looking at the scriptures for what they say as much as saying that the scripture was written a long time ago and that the application of the scripture needs to be altered to be able to fit better with the modern world. The ancient people didn't deal that much with transgenderism and the great understanding of our modern age that we have now. So the idea is down to this. It's the acceptance that God is love. God is love. And therefore, we know God loves transgenders. Well, we do know that. We know God loves everybody, and that Jesus's death on the cross was for every human soul. No matter what their identification is, as we know, God loves them. But many people are taking this idea, and that's where they leave it right there. This is what it is, and God loves us, and love can't be bad. I don't want to be too specific, but I hear this a lot, that love is so, the idea of love is so profound and it's so right, that how could anyone object to two men loving each other? We don't. We are supposed to love each other, just not what they're talking about. And it's a new modern world, so therefore Romans 1 is specifically to the point here when it says that they changed God into their own likeness. They changed the uncorruptible, God into the idea of a corruptible creature. And it's being altered, and God is being looked at in all of these ways in society, in all these ways, and so there's all of these exceptions of life. And now, I mean, a couple years ago, there was actually a lawsuit. It wasn't in this country, but there was actually a lawsuit because a major church organization had fired a pastor because he was an atheist. And the pastor was suing the church, saying that he'd done his job and all of this, and what difference does it make? He done his job. I know you're shaking your head, but when I heard it, I said the same thing. For one thing, I said, he's a troublemaker to even want the job. I mean, why would a guy want a job to stand up and try to tell people? But he said, I was good at my job. I explained the scriptures the way it was written. I did all this. He didn't believe in God. He was an atheist. He didn't believe there was a God. But he said that he was literally, literature. I mean, he understood language and he understood the writing. And so he was able to do that. And there was actually there was actually a debate about it. I mean, and it was altering the ideas of what the scripture talks about and the making exceptions where there was no exceptions and all of those things. And it brings to my mind, and it's what I want to think about today. There is an analogy in the scriptures I want to look at. It's in Jeremiah 6. I think I want Jeremiah 6. I think that's what I want. Yes, sir. 6 and 16. Yeah, Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths." Now, I want to read more of that, but I want to stop there because that seems to insinuate to my mind, and there is an analogy here, and I drew some of this from some comments of Adam Clark, but there seems to be an analogy and something that the Lord is giving. Thus saith the Lord was a very, very, very important idea in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament Scriptures. Because a man could come and say what he thought, and he could give counsels and all that, but if you really wanted to know and have confidence in something, you wanted the prophet to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Not, it ain't my opinion about this. This is "Thus saith the Lord," and he's saying to us, "Stop." This isn't saying going 75 miles an hour. Say where? Stop in the ways. And so the analogy is something like this. A man's going to a city, and he's traveling on a traveled way, and he comes days before GPS, days before the systems and all that, and he comes up to an intersection. I like to think more than an intersection. There's a place, Keith, I don't know if you ever been to Five Forks? Five Forks is north in Webster. I don't think Five Forks is actually in Webster. I think it goes into Randolph County. But there was a place that we used to go up there, and you could go to Pickens one way, and you could go back towards Upshur County, and it was called Five Forks because it laid just like the fingers of a hand there. You come up there, and it was like, and it was, you come in one direction, but there was five different ways that you could go there. I remember going up there before when I was young. I would go with Dad, and of course, Dad was the old-timer around, and this went here and here and here. There may have been a sign, I don't remember. But I remember thinking, you know, this can be really confusing to a person. You come up here and you say, somebody says, "Take this road. This is the path. Take this path. Take this road, and this will take you to where you're wanting to go." And you're saying, "Well, great, great direction. Just go on the path." And you get up there, and there's a Five Forks. This is the analogy there. And the seriousness of a person's mind at this point that really wants to go to heaven. They want to make it to their destination. They're wanting to go to their cities. But all of a sudden, there's all these ways to go. But there's only one way that goes the way that you want to go. And this is where the Lord say, "Thus saith the Lord." Stay right here. The mind I'm too desperate to make a mistake. I don't want to make the mistake here. What do I do? I don't know. And the Lord says, right here, stand in the way. Stand right here and inquire, search, check. Don't go off haphazardly down that line. Be sincere about this. Ask for what? The old path. Do you know God has not changed? And what God has desired of mankind is still the same. What He desires, what He requires, what you must do is still the same for us as it was all the patriarchs, all the apostles, all the reformers. It was always all the same. Time changes. Things change. You would be foolish to still be riding a horse and wagon trying to live in it. It doesn't fit the time. It would be foolish to anchor your convictions on just because of the past. There's electric, for instance. There's electric, and with all the electrical gadgets, there's things that can be greatly advanced by that. We can do things. We can see. There's not that. It wouldn't be wise to have a coal lamp and just say, I'm looking for the old path. That's not the old path. Modern technology isn't against the old path. They use modern technology to make a new path or try to, but it doesn't diminish the old path that you're really looking for. God is still desiring the same thing. We want to walk the same path that Abraham walked. Inquire, how did Abraham please God? He had faith in God. You need to walk down the line of faith. I don't know what that might mean for you in this modern world. It's definitely a different world than it was for those in the past. But our grandparents needed faith. Brother Salmons and Sister Salmons needed faith to start this work here. Brother Jim needed faith to live his life. All that went before us here needed faith to live in their life. And when we stop and say, what are we doing now? The Lord is still going to speak for your day and your time. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for what you're doing. I had to say this, tell my little story. It usually fits into my message, but some of you know, maybe some of you don't. I've kind of been in this thing for the last few days. My water went out, and this is something that when I moved into the house, the house that I'm in, I figured out about everything about way you do an old house. Originally, I had a lot of problem with the electric because it went in. Remember the old paper fuses? I don't know if anybody even. This had the old paper fuse box. It was an old system. Anyway, Brother Tony come and helped me one time. We put a new meter on. We changed all that out. I knew how the house, I found out where the septic was at. I done everything. But the one thing I could not figure out exactly was where my water came from, where the well was at and all this. And for years, I used to think that has been in there for 40, 50 years longer. That old foot valve's been working down there. That old line's been pumping water. It's going to go bad in my lifetime, and I am dreading the day that it goes bad because I don't know what to do. And I don't know where to stay. And so this last few days, there's been times that I've pumped and I pounded and I beat it and I crawled and I looked and I've done everything, and then I went and sat in my chair and just simply contemplated. And what I come up with the answer was, I don't know what to do. You ever just don't know what the next action is? I'm scratching my head. I mean, technically, I could get somebody with a dozer and push the house down and dig around. I mean, I could find the well, but there's always a balance between how much you tear up and what you do, and there's always a balance in trying to know, and you always want to do. You would hate to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and tear up a lot of stuff, and then find out, oops. If I'd only known, I could have just pulled this thing up and right there. I mean, it's always weighing on your mind and those kind of things. And so, to be honest with you, it's a trial. I would say this, it's been a trial to me. It may be a trial that by this time in my experience I ought to be better at. But you know, I still need the Lord to talk to me and help me. And you know, it really was a lot better when I was willing to say, well, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. And then, I don't know, Linda told me, my children told me, and different ones said, Dad, think about Brenda. Yeah, I walk with 2 5-gallon buckets, and with a minute, 90 seconds it takes me really to walk over and get 2 5-gallon buckets full of water to bring up to the house. We have water right there for drinking water. We really don't have any trouble in our lives. And we'll think of Brenda having to walk an hour one way with water and all this and kind of stuff. And it brings me to the actual, that sometimes there's spiritual, there is spiritual advantages and blessings in things that seem so disruptive. We can think that it's such a bad day. And those people ain't eaten 2 days, and they don't have water, and they got to pack it. And sometimes there needs to be a reality check in our lives. And can I tell you something? You will have those moments no matter where you are in your social status, economic status. You think you can pay for everything. There's things you can't pay for. And there's things you can't get people that you can pay to do it when you want to. And it's called life. And do you know that we no matter what situation we're in, we need to ask where the same old path that Abraham had, that Moses had, that Paul had, that Peter had, there is a path, and all of a sudden I'm up to Five Forks. I don't know which way to go. You know what the Lord ain't going to say? I mean, we depend on, the Lord can help us, Clay, find that water line. But that's not my point, finding the water line. My point is where's the path? What do you do in the process of finding the water line? Or what do you do in the process of the thing? Lord, what is the right thing? Okay, I'm going to confess a fault. I haven't been at peace. I don't show too much turmoil on the outside a lot of times. But I know inside I don't have peace. And you say, is that all that it takes to rob you of peace? Yes, when you're not focused. Yes, of course. Of course, we all know. I was telling my son, it's a joke with us. This was dry, so I was telling my son. Why is it that every time I drop something, even if it's in the middle of the floor, it goes under something at the edge of the floor? If I drop it at the edge of the floor, it don't run out in the middle of the floor, it still goes under there. No matter what I drop on the floor, it runs under my chair. Why is it? I don't know that it is exactly like that, but it sure seems like that. And I was saying the other day, I chopped a hole in my concrete about 10 inches through to get down through to the pipe, and I actually cut a hole in there. It is the only hole anywhere. And I come through there and drop my screwdriver. Now, we're in the middle of the room. I dropped that screwdriver and hit right square on the plastic end and jumped and hit on the screwdriver end here, then it looked like a mouse to me. You know how a mouse will dart and go into a hole? That thing went boom, and right down in that hole. And I'm like saying, there's only one hole in here. And it went directly for it like it was a magnet. Go figure. Well, you know what? It had to go somewhere. So it went in the hole. But the point isn't that the screwdriver just went in the hole. Lord, where is the path that I'm supposed to be on when things... there has to be a connection with the Lord. So he says to the wayfarer, stand in the way. This is the analogy. Stand in the way and require. Ask. It says in C, and ask. Ask what? Ask who? Ask where? Well, wait. I'll send you by somebody. I'm going to tell you, this is the analogy. The Lord is not letting us flounder. He does make us wait because it's part of the path. Sometimes it's not a direct shot. Solution to every problem that you have. Is it, Keith? No, it's not. It's not. It isn't that I know if I replace this, that'll fix it. No, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. Which one is it? I don't know, but I'm going to have to find out which one it is. And now I'm at Five Forks, and I don't know which way to go. But it says to ask, and the Lord will send somebody to ask. And so the analogy is that this person is so wanting to do the right thing, not wanting to make the mistake, wanting to get to the right place. He's at that that forks in the road place in his life, and he stands and he waits, and behold, here comes someone. And you ask. I don't know. In my mind, it's more than that. It's not exactly the analogy, but my mind, here comes somebody half staggering, been drinking on the bottle, comes staggering up by the road. So what do you do? Hey, which way am I supposed to go? If I was you, I'd go that way. Okay. Thank you. But that ain't very convincing to me. Then along somebody that says, hey, listen, how do you go? How do you get there? And they're going to say, brother, I've traveled this road over and over again. This is the way. This is the way that all of us have went. This is the way my granddad got there. This is the way to go. That's the way I'm going to go. One of our songs in our book says something like, I think it's about the Word of God, and it says, faithful saints and martyrs trod. The path that faithful saints and martyrs trod. I want to know what road they went down. We come to a place, I don't know what to do. You know how many times that the path of humility is the path that we go? You say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to go to this. I don't know what to do with it. Humble yourself down. Just humble yourself in this situation. Just drop your head in this situation and say, Lord Jesus, have your way in this situation. If it's rough on my flesh, if I get a little skin bumped off of me, Lord, make it right. This is the path the faithful saints and martyrs trod. It's what the Lord tried to tell the rich young ruler when he come to him and said, what must I do to be saved? Well, this is what you do. I've done it from my youth. I've kept the commandments. What do I lack? This is what you lack. This is the road that you're off on. This is what's going to take you wrong in life. If you want to go down the path of faithful saints and martyrs, go sell all that you have, because that is taking you the wrong way. You don't have, Brother Mansell read Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That he did what? He humbled himself. That was the path that Jesus was on. That's the path that he calls us to be on too, is the humility. It isn't only that. It's the holy path. It's a path of faithfulness. Those that went before Abraham, the father of the faithful, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. He left everything. Young man, with all your wealth, you want to go down this path? Follow Abraham's path that left his identity. He left his name. He left his home, folks. He sojourned in the land of promise, not knowing where he was going. He just had faith in God that pointed him in that direction. This is the road to go on. You know, there's a path that goes on. And this scripture says that to stand ye in the, it doesn't say run in the way now. It doesn't say keep walking. You're there at the standing. Stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Old paths? You mean those same old songs? Do you know there can be new songs with inspiration? We're not bound to just that. I'm going to tell you, there's value in the old songs. Somebody learned a lesson, generally, and penned it down in a song. They was on the old path, and they got something that's valuable there, and they given that value off. I'll say this. You may not like the tune of Amazing Grace, but you ought to like the message. It ought to touch your heart. It ought to make you say, thank God for the amazing grace that I found too. And if you know the story of the one that wrote that and his conversion that and his amazing grace, you would say that's the experience of the old path, of a man that was deep in sin, of a man that was corrupt, of a man that had nothing much going for him in that way. And God started talking with his heart. And God did something that was outside of his scope of doing and changed an evil man into a godly man. Thank God for amazing grace. And when we can have that same experience, then we can also. How do I go? What path do I follow here? I want to put this slight warning in on this. This wasn't a warning message, but I want to put a slight warning in on here. The world is trying to give you a lot of paths. The world is trying to divert what we think is the right way. And Scripture still does teach that every man's way is right in his own mind, in his own heart. He thinks he's right, always. But there is a way to get rid of that and get what the Lord wants. I'll read the rest of this. Where is the good way? Now, you can start moving. Well, it first said stand. But after you do that, it says, ask for the good way and walk therein. Now you can start moving, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. This is what the Lord was saying for the time and the people. I just can't do that. It's just too old fogey. It doesn't encourage and inspire anymore enough to do it. If we try to make living for God about how we feel in the flesh, it'll never work. Because that's not what it's about. It's never been about that. But when we live faithful to the Lord, it's about faithfulness, it's about obedience, it's about righteousness and living holy. It's about humility and humbling ourselves down to the great Creator God. That's the old path. It was the same for everybody that ever come, that they gave themselves up and they took the Lord on. They didn't make them number one. It was mentioned earlier. They didn't make them number one. Don't have the big number one stamped on them. They make God number one. It is the first commandment. Have no other God before me. God will be our God. I want to just conclude. Let's see. I think Ephesians 5. Fourteen, I'll start. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that's afterwards, after the transformation, after the light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Again, it gives you the same mind of that there's a caution to the old ways. Caution was the watchword of the old saints. Caution was the caution given in the Proverbs to the young man not to go down on that street corner. Caution is the hallmark of the sincere soul. Be careful. Walk circumspectly. Brother Tony, I remember, taught on this one time, and he used the illustration of having something, and there's been many things in the history of the saints that was done this way that ended up being looked at as an okay thing. But the saints walk circumspectly, meaning circling, looking at it from all angles. Here's a new thing has popped into our lives. What are we going to do with this new thing? I don't know. I'm going to stand back from it, and I'm going to circle it. And I'm going to see it, and I'm going to see it action, and I'm going to see what the results of those that do it. And I'm going to watch it because I want to make it. I want to go the right way. I want the old path. Is that the old path? I need to watch and do that. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools. Well, that gives you an idea that fools don't walk circumspectly. Fools will rush in where wise men fear to tread. Well, fool just run right in and grab a hold of something. Now, wait a minute. That might be dangerous. I'm going to have to do that right. You know how many people have been electrocuted to death because they weren't afraid of electricity? You know how many people? There was a situation on Point Mountain, 1987 maybe. There was a coal mine up there, and there was he was an older man. I mean, he was middle age older, been an electrician for many, many years. And he got careless, and he knew not to work in that power box with the power on it. He knew that, but one day he did. I remember there because anything around the power boxes and the lines, they put rubber matting. You know what I mean? You wanted to not ground, and so there was rubber matting. Then, not only that, but they were supposed to be to work in electric. If I'm not mistaken, they were supposed to be in proper rubber boots at the time. And they was also to have, I don't know what all he had, but I know what he did. He tried to do some little thing in the power box with this big screwdriver that he had, and he shortcutted it and tried to do it while everything was running, the power was on. I remember it well because we worked at mines, and when he did that, they life flighted him out. It blew holes out from under his arms right there. It actually blew. This is disgusting, but I mean, this is what happened to this man. And he actually lived for about, I don't know, a month and a half or something. But the quality of life was gone. It totally just completely run him. And that is a natural example of what this is talking about, is walk circumspectly around things. There's things that has danger to it, and there's safeguards that's put in. The Lord's going to come by. The Lord's going to send somebody by. How many stories have you heard of a farmer getting caught or somebody working around the PTOs on a tractor? Have you ever heard of that? In my lifetime, I don't know how many stories I can tell. I believe Beckwith. You remember Ralph? Over and over, the tragedy of somebody we knew. Dad knew them boys well. And then to hear this happens, and it's like you can get... I know that there's hundreds of thousands of examples where people got by with it. And you can get by with it over and over. But walk circumspectly around in the spiritual thing. It's an idea. Where is the old path? I'm going to tell you what the old timers, all of them that were successful, would tell you. Don't mess around with that. Be careful about the thing that is crying to you. You know the story of the siren? What is the old mythology of the siren? The siren call was Odysseus, and it was the sailing ships, and they would sail by, and they would hear the beautiful singing of women singing, of this beautiful voices, and when they heard it, it got them to be, it was irresistible. And when the sailors heard that siren call, they would turn their masts and they would head in, and they would ultimately shipwreck in the rocks, and over it done it. And so that old siren call of the world is calling, come, play with buy our wares, play with our goods, do our things. And the scripture all at the same time is saying, the Lord says, stand in the way. If I'm not mistaken, he put wax in his men's ears, and he tied himself to the mast, and he had them sail by so he could see what this was all about and listen to the siren call without being affected about it, because he didn't want to crash in there. If I'm not mistaken, that's something, the story. But most people that don't even know the story, and I don't know it well, will remember the idea that's been told over and over of the siren call. Beware of the siren call. That irresistible walk circumspectly. Is that the old path? I'm not saying that the old path is designated by any kind of technology, because it ain't. You can go down the old path with technology. What I am suggesting, that technology can be used to blur the old path and make a lot of old paths. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't know, this analogy doesn't say it, but in my mind, when you come up to Five Forks, the way that you should go may be the less attractive to the eye to go. But it won't be well wore of the world travelers. But it was the way that faithful saints and martyrs trod. It was the way those went before us, and they denied the wealth and prosperity, glamour, excitement, and riches of this world to walk the way of Christ. And they gave themselves to it. So the message today is walk circumspectly and cry, ask, stand in the way and ask, see and ask, where is the old path and where is the good way? Because these things are determined not by the quality of road you're on, but by the destination of where it's going. That's whether it's good or whether it's bad. Because there'll be rocky, rough places sometimes in the right way. And it isn't determined that it's a bad way. It's where the end of it takes you to whether it's good or not. There is going to be, at the end of a lot of these places, there is going to be fire and brimstone to the human soul. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.